Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Look out, it's only films to be buried with.
Rewind Classic.
Hello there, this is Brett Goldstein. We're taking a short break between seasons, so in the meantime, enjoy this absolutely banging Rewind Classic until we return on August 9th with a brand new season of unbelievable new guests and episodes. In the meantime, I've curated some of my all-time favourite episodes, so sit back or run or walk or drive or sleep or bang or whatever you do to these, no judgments, and I very much hope you enjoy this episode of Films to be Buried With.
Rewind Classic.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by an actor, a radio actor, a stage actor, a TV actor, a film actor, a legend, an assistant to the doctor, a hero, a leader, the future of humanity, and the greatest person on the screen at this moment. Please welcome to the show, it's the brilliant Pearl Mackey!
Hey! What an intro! The greatest person on the screen at the moment, apart from yourself.
No. Including myself. Pearl, it is a pleasure to have you. Thank you for doing this. How are you?
I'm very well. Yeah, it is a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm good.
Now, those of you who can't see Pearl, her hair looks fucking wicked.
Thanks, mate.
Worth having a look at the video just to see how good her hair looks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is a new thing.
Yeah, I just got it done the other day, actually. Yeah, just thought, why not? Let's just have a bit of fun. No, just...
Let's enjoy our lives, for God's sake.
Let's enjoy this life, you know? Also, it's meant to be summer, so I was like, oh, I know, yeah. I'm blonde, I'll get some rainbows at the end of Pride Month. Yes, come on then. And it's literally pissing it down. So.
But I don't think it's the fault of your hair. I'm not blaming that.
That would be quite scary.
There's been rumours that is why we've had the bad grammar, but I've stood by you. Now, well, so I met you, for those of you who don't know, we did a radio sitcom pilot for The Pin.
We did.
That's where I met you. And you had just finished doing Doctor Who, I believe.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to know. I don't need to know about your experience of Doctor Who. What I'm interested in, because to go from doing stage shows to suddenly being in Doctor Who, which makes you pretty famous, whether you like it or not.
True.
Was that a scary thing? Was it a great thing? How did you deal with all that suddenness of it?
It was a madness.
Right.
To be honest, yeah, literally just sort of going from like one day just kind of bopping about doing my job, thinking, oh yeah, I'm on the West End stage, this is amazing, you know, this is probably the most exciting job I'm ever going to have. You know, just happily walking around, you know, central London, just enjoying life in between shows and that kind of thing, being as ridiculous as I wanted to be without anyone looking at me. Just suddenly being like, oh, there's loads of people outside stage door every time I finish a show, whenever I go down the street. It was quite mad. Yeah, it did feel like, wow, this is a lot. And also, I hadn't even started filming yet, so I was a bit like, I don't even really know. And they're like, oh my God, so what's your character like? Like, tell me this.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like, I don't have anything to say. We filmed like a trailer. I was like, I was there for about a day, which was mental, but also it was all such a blur because I was so nervous and then I couldn't tell anyone about it. So I've kind of like minimized the experience of filming that trailer. Secret trailer, because it was so intense and like so crazy. I kind of like can't really remember any of it apart from how mad it was. So I was literally just there like, I honestly have nothing to offer you. And they're still like, oh no, but it's really, really exciting. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was amazing. You know, it's like an amazing family to be part of. And, like the fans are like so dedicated, which is amazing. But it was just quite weird. Like, you know, in places that I just totally didn't expect that to happen. Like I was sitting at my friend was like helping out in a shop. He used to work in a shop in Brixton Village. And yeah, I was just sitting in for her while she was like I think she just went to the loo or something. She was like, oh, do you mind just staying in here, babe? And just, you know, someone popped in and was like really, really, really excited. And it was like this French guy. I was like, this is so out of the ordinary. I think I'd just been to the gym or something. So I was like sitting there like a bit sweaty. I was like, wow, you really, really want a photo of me? I mean, I look like shit. But okay, all right. So yeah, basically that was mad. And obviously it has calmed down a little bit now, or I've got a bit more used to it. I don't really
know. Do you just get used to it? How does it work? It just seems a lot.
I don't really know, to be honest. It does still surprise me sometimes when people like stare at me when I'm walking down the street. Unless I have braids like this, in which case I'm like, obviously you think I look good.
Yeah, you're looking because I look fucking good.
Yeah, you're looking because I look good. That's cool. But yeah, sometimes I think, especially like when I go to new places and like, you know, sometimes like as a black woman, you're like, are you staring at me because I am black and you don't want me to be here? What's going on? Or it's like, oh no, you recognize me. Oh, okay, cool. That's fine. You know, as long as it's like, but yeah, it can be, it sometimes is still quite disconcerting when people like, oh my God, that's you. Oh my God. Like someone did it to me yesterday and that it hasn't, I mean, I guess I just haven't been, well, no one's been around.
Yeah,
haven't
been out.
No one's been out in ages. So I was like, oh, I was just sitting down after I got my vaccination. And I can see what you're doing. And then like his mate turned around, like really like obviously was like and I was like, and I don't think they really care. No, like they weren't huge fans. They didn't come up to me and ask me for anything, but we still like sometimes that's a bit weird as well. So I was like, cool. I'm just sitting here, quite aware that sort of looking at me every now and again. I don't really know how to behave. But
yeah, the worst is when someone says something like, "I saw you in that show," and you go, "Okay," and then they don't say anything, and you're like,
"Yeah."
So I don't even know if you enjoyed that show. Yeah. You're literally
like
just pointing out.
You like me in the show.
Just a statement of fact. I saw you in that show.
Can you even remember what show it was?
Yeah.
Sometimes okay. I'm like, oh, you're the actress from that show. I'm like, yeah, it's me.
Cool. Could be.
Could be. I could be someone else.
Really depends if you like that particular show we're talking about.
Yeah. Exactly.
Before I concur on this one.
Yeah.
You've just been filming, have you? Can you talk about
yourself? Yeah.
Do you want to tell us anything or is it secrets?
Yeah, I can tell. Why not? I mean, sure.
Come on.
Just been filming an ITV detective drama. It's very serious.
Are you the detective?
Murder has happened. I am. I'm one of a couple of detectives. Yeah.
Who's the other detective?
Ben Aldridge. Lovely Ben Aldridge. And yeah, we just literally just came off it like 2 weeks ago, I think. It's called The Long Haul. It's very much kind of exploring the character that Ben plays, his life as a gay man who's been sort of shunned from his community, which are like the president of the community, which is a sect of the Christian church that are quite extreme. And sort of him having sort of been ostracized from them and left and then coming back, you know, and then sort of moving back to his hometown and then having this murder that kind of doesn't encourage him, kind of forces him to kind of go back to his community and kind of confront some truths And within that, I play DS Jen Rafferty.
Nice.
Who has also moved to Devon, to North Devon, which where it's set. Okay. Because she's sort of looking for a better life for her and her kids. So there's a little bit of soul searching here and there. And there's quite a lot of parallels drawn between their own lives, and kind of they use a lot of their own kind of experiences to investigate the investigation. Investigate. I should have just stopped at investigate, shouldn't I?
Well, I'll tell you what, that actually sounds fucking great. You've really, really sold it really well, and I would like to see that. May I ask this? Did you film in Devon?
We filmed in Bristol and in Devon, yeah. So we were in Bristol for 7 weeks and then went down to Devon for 3 weeks, which was really nice, actually. I mean, I genuinely had a lovely time filming it. It was an amazing cast and just had loads of jokes, you know? Just, you know, when you just have one of them lovely, lovely jobs that you're like, this doesn't actually feel like work, even though obviously when, you know, the work itself, it was quite serious because, you know, obviously it's a serious subject matter. But around it, you know, we just had a lovely time. Like the director was amazing and just let us, you know, sort of have a really nice time playing around with it and made us feel really comfortable and really open. And
is your experience, you've done a lot more hardcore drama than myself. Is your experience making dramas that between takes, you can have a laugh, it's a lot of fun, or is it usually heavy all the time?
I don't know if I have done a lot more serious drama. I'm not sure. I think it very much depends show to show, regardless of what the content is. I mean, I did an episode of Friday Night Dinner, and that's
heavy drama.
Heavy. No, and that's really serious drama. And actually, between takes, no one spoke to each other. No, exactly the opposite. You know what I mean? Like, and I kind of thought, you know, maybe that was the case, because I think that's something that people say quite a lot, isn't it? They're like, oh, you know, within, you know, when it's a comedy, there's kind of no room for comedy behind the scenes because everyone's sort of, you know, trying to make their comedy work and that. But we had a lovely time, and, you know, we were like playing Boggle upstairs in the green room and having jokes and, you know.
As your Boggle game, strong?
Not as strong as all of theirs.
Right. This is some real fucking behind the scenes shit going down here. That's some real, man. Like, that's going to be front page, that.
Oh, yeah.
I got a real exclusive here about the Friday Night Dinner Boggle Games. Pearl.
Yeah.
I am an idiot. I've forgotten to tell you something.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
What?
I've forgotten to tell you. I should have actually really told you. Maybe I should have texted it to you before we started or something, because I feel like we're recording now. It's awkward that I've left it this late. I'm just going to have to say it, and I hope it's okay. But I'll just say it.
Well, go for it, and I'll see how see how I respond.
Yeah, there's no pressure on how you respond. I'll just say it, and then you can deal with however you. You've died. You've died.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
All right, that's pretty deep, man.
I'm glad you finished that filming. I hope they're not expecting any pickups or ADR.
Well, fingers crossed, because, you know, if they do, then they'll have to get, I don't know, some kind of double.
How did you die?
It was, I think it was quite sad, actually. You probably don't know this about me, but I've been allergic to shellfish since I was 21, which is... was only about 2 minutes ago anyway, don't worry about it. but it's been a real plight of my existence. I love shellfish, or I did beforehand. Yes,
please tell me, what happened between 20 and 21 if you were eating shellfish and then suddenly you couldn't eat shellfish?
Don't know, just one day it was like, this is not good, bad time. No. Very serious allergic reaction, which has progressed, because I was like, oh, maybe it's just prawns. Nah. Tried to eat some mussels, tried to eat a few other bits and bobs. It's all of that. It's all of it.
All of them.
So, I just basically reached the end of my tether and was like, do you know what? I've only had lobster once. It was delicious. I just don't think it's going to be that bad for me. So I smashed loads of lobster, and it fucking killed me.
How?
No, it was slow. It was slow and painful.
Oh.
In a
restaurant?
You know, all the air was sort of sucked out of me, but I was kind of puffy, but also dehydrated. So sort of,
Who were you with?
I was with my mum.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, Christ. I know. But she was sitting there going, told you so, you shouldn't have eaten the lobster.
So she had some pleasure, at least, in the, the satisfaction of I told you so.
Maybe a little bit. I don't know how she feels about it now, but I would say I could give her a shout, but I can't.
What was it you looked like you were about to say? And I'm really sorry. I realised I cut you off.
Oh, it's all right. I was just looked a bit like, you know, I don't know if you've ever used those emojis that like kind of like octopuses with expressions.
Yeah.
But they also look a bit like a wrinkled ball sack.
Yes. The wrinkled ball sack emoji.
That's kind of what I look like. A bit like that. A little bit in places, you know, and a little bit more shriveled in other places. But yeah, it was, it's not pretty. It's not, it wasn't an open casket, you know?
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah. I'm so sorry. That's really one of the worst ways to go we've had. Do you worry about death, Pearl Mackey?
I don't worry about my own death. I don't think. Well, I mean, you know, apart from this whole year that we've just had where death seemed to be around the corner for everyone.
Yeah.
And that was quite scary. But again, I think that wasn't so much worrying about me. That was more worrying about transmitting the virus to someone else that would then die. You know, like more worried about sort of, you know, my mum and other people, just, you know, other older, more vulnerable people and that kind of thing. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think I necessarily worry about the fact that I'm going to die.
What do you think happens when you die?
I don't know. I just reckon you just die, innit?
Just that, just blackout.
I think so. I mean, I'd like to think that there is, I'm not a religious person, but I do believe in like sort of like karma and the kind of, you know, being nice to people and then nice things will come back to you. But I don't necessarily think that that's a way to live your life and then you get the reward at death. I feel like that's a way to live your life.
Instead of reincarnation, you think it all happens within the one life. You're good to people. People are good to you. You get the rewards, as it were, that heaven promises you get in your life.
I think so, yeah. And I mean, I do feel like I've had, like, my godmother was very, very close to me and she died when I was 19, I think. Yeah, probably in my second year of uni. And I still talk to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still sometimes, you know, have conversations and I still feel her around, not in like a weird ghosty way, but in a nice way, in that, yeah. You know, I feel like there's a lot of things that she supported me doing. And, you know, she was just really, really supportive throughout my whole journey and my whole life, really. She was like another parent to me. So I don't know if that's just me manifesting that because I miss her, you know, or if that is because I believe that she is somewhere having a nice time. But I don't know. I do feel like when certain things happen, I do feel like she is there, which is nice. But maybe that's just because I wanted to be there. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. And I really love it. And and I often wonder about that. And I almost think I can't get my head around the idea of nothing. There's nothing. It's nothing. And black, nothing. Blackout.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think partly the reason I've read things where it's like, oh, that's just the sort of arrogance of humans that we go, but we must be so important, there must be more. But I think it's partly more to do with like energy, that energy doesn't end. So if you're the energy of you goes, it goes somewhere else. But also the memory of people, just the sheer memory of people is in some way them living on, like,
yeah,
you're talking about your, if you believe in there's nothing after it but you still talk to your godmother, like, that's interesting in terms of either she's literally a presence there or I don't know, yeah, you've manifested something that is her. I don't know, but it's fascinating. I love it.
But then also I think the, like, you know, kind of the magic of it is, and the fascination that the human race has with death is that we don't know. It's completely unknown, and we don't, you know, and it is about belief and what we believe and essentially what that belief makes us do, and like how that translates into our behavior and how that translates into our day-to-day existence, like whether or not I believe that she is somewhere or whether or not I believe that there isn't anything. It's like I can't quite amalgamate the two feelings, but I think both of them help me potentially. I don't know. I think it's sort of that kind of fascination. I think also, you know, I'm very much like, I'm not like, I totally disagree with all religions and, you know, all people thinking that. I think if, you know, if it helps you to believe, if it helps you to be a better person to everyone in reality, then yeah, I mean, believe in heaven and hell and, you know, but if it, you know, if it makes you tell me that I'm going to go to hell for doing, you know, things that you deem terrible, then I think that's just personal judgment, essentially.
I think that's where we need a Channel 5 documentary, when religions go bad.
Yes.
Well, I've got good news for you.
Yeah, okay, go on then.
There is a heaven.
All
and
right.
It's fucking great. And you get in. You are, you got right
Am
in.
Am I wearing these braids at the time? Because I'd happily be wearing these forever.
You're wearing the braids forever. The thing is, they're locked in forever now. You wear them every day in heaven.
Oh, okay, okay.
And heaven's got your favourite things in it. What's your favourite thing?
Like, I mean, soup dumplings.
Soup dumplings, right. Everything is made from soup dumplings.
It's messy. It's going to get messy.
Everywhere, soup dumplings, perfect temperature, nothing's burning you. Chairs are made of soup dumplings. You can eat as you sit.
Oh,
walls,
my God.
Everything. It's a soup dumpling heaven. And in this heaven, everyone's very excited to see you. But they want to talk about your life through film. And the first thing they want to know is, what's the first film you remember seeing, Pearl Mackey?
I think the first film that I remember seeing is Meet Me in St. Louis.
Bloody hell, that's you know what? That has never come up. So already...
Really?
20 points for you.
Thank you very much. Didn't know this was a point scoring exercise, but I'm very glad it is.
Yep. It's very much a competition you didn't know you'd entered, but so far, cracking start.
I love a competition. Let's go. Right. Yeah, I think that, I watched a couple of early films like quite early on in my life. I remember having quite distinct memories of like my mum plaiting my hair on a Sunday night after she'd washed it before school, probably like when I was about 5 or 6, but... This we used to do this, you know, every week for so much of my life until I decided that I wanted to like try and do my hair myself. So, you know, there's a strong like, you know, 12, 13 years of that kind of happening. But when I was younger, there were a couple of films that were on rotation. But I think Meet Me in St. Louis is the one I really remember. It really, really stood out for me. It's one of, I mean, it's one of my favourite films as well, probably because it was one of the earliest I remember.
So would it have been specifically your mum put it on, or it was just on while you were sat there together?
My mum put it on, definitely. We had it on video that she'd, I think, recorded off the TV. We used to do loads of that. I think she'd recorded it off the TV and would put it on. I think she'd probably ask. I don't think we had many videos that were, she loves films, but I don't know if we had a huge amount of like kids. Right. But there was a couple that I loved, and she would be like, what do you want to watch? And I'd be like, I want to watch Meet Me in St. Louis. And I just love it. I mean, I think just like the young girl in it, I think it's Margaret O'Brien that plays Tootie. It's just brilliant. It's just so, it's so not what I would have thought early 20th century family in St. Louis in America would be like. And it's always really funny at the beginning, in the scene where they're making the ketchup and they're saying that it's too sweet and too sour, and it's like, it's hilarious. It feels like there's a lot of life in it. I mean, and then like you meet Judy Garland, who is just, I absolutely love Judy Garland. Like, I love her a lot. I just think she's just magical. I mean, I think there's a real, like, there's just an amazing quality that really draws you in. I mean, it's probably vulnerability and all of the shit that she was going through while she made all of these amazing films, and the horrible pressure and all the drugs and all of that.
Do you remember thinking, I want to do that, I want to be a 100% singer, dance? Right. Because you're also a dancer, right?
I'm not a dancer. No, it says that on my Wikipedia page.
That's on your Wikipedia.
But which is quite jealous. One of my friends finds that possibly the funniest thing about me. I mean, I could dance, but I'm not I am a singer. And yeah, I remember watching Judy Garland sing the trolley song and be like, what the fuck is that? That is amazing. I want to do that. I think it was just like, it's just a feeling it gave me. It just made me feel like really happy, but really engaged. And she's telling the story through the song. And it's sort of, it's completely staged, but it feels kind of like it's not, which is great. It feels sort of a bit gossipy and a bit amazing and just quite fizzy and a bit magical. And then at the end, when he gets on the trolley and she sees him and she's like, oh my God, what have I done? Oh my God. I was like, I'm so with you on your journey as a 5-year-old, even though I totally don't understand really any of those feelings. I was like, you've managed to communicate this to me. And I think that is incredible. And you made me feel happy and sad and a bit scared for you, but also really excited. Through just this one song, and then, you know, subsequently through the rest of the film and stuff. And I was like, I want to make people feel that. Like, you've made me feel things. I want to make people feel things. I think that's really cool.
Absolutely. Incredible answer.
Thanks very much. Gets worse from here.
Okay, good. Because that is some high bar you're setting. What about crying? What's the film that made you cry the most? Do you cry easily?
Ooh, I do cry easily at a film. Yeah, yeah.
In life? Not in life?
No, I didn't used to cry very easily in life. But I think I'm getting a bit soft as I'm getting older. Because I do, yeah. I think, I think crying is very healthy. I think it's a good thing. I think we should encourage people to cry more. I think it's very cathartic. And I mean, who doesn't feel better after a cry, you know? I think it's good. I probably don't cry enough, but I think I am getting better at it. But yeah, I think it's usually like things that I'm like, oh, I'm feeling a bit, anyway, feeling a bit iffy, feeling a bit like a little bit upset about something, a bit angry. Often cry because I'm angry. That's a thing. But then something will trigger it, like a film or, you know, an advert or something silly, stupid, sentimental meme or something. And I'll be like, gone.
Crying at a meme is, yeah, you go, I needed that.
yeah, you're just like, thanks for that. Sweet. I mean, you know, I'm on the bus, but it's cool. I can handle it.
So what's the film that made you cry the most?
The film I think that made me cry the most is a film called Fruitvale Station.
Oh, bloody hell.
Have you seen it?
I have. That's Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, and my it's, God. That film is so deep, man. It's so deep. I don't think it's like, well, I mean, I think it's a great film, but I think what's great about it is the realism. I don't think the storytelling is a phenomenal out of this world. That's why it's constructed, you know, that's the construct of that is what made me cry. But I think it's just how real it is. And I mean, I watched it about 7 years ago. I don't know, 7-8 years ago. I watched it by myself in my friend's flat that I was living in at the time. Just one evening, I was at home by myself and watched it. And I mean, I think, to be fair, if I watched it now, you know, with the subject matter of a young black man getting shot by the police in a way that's, well, not an accident, but it's easily preventable, is something that would, I mean, I don't think it would make me cry any less now. And I feel like I wept. I was weeping sort of halfway through the fucking film because, you know, it's just the story of him with his daughter and his girlfriend is just really lovely, but also really real. You know, they're kind of going through some shit and it's tough. And then just, you know, when it happens and he's on the train and you're just like, this is just awful. And I was just, I think I was just after it. I think I cried for about half an hour, I was sobbing on the sofa. Like, it was awful. I was just, and I think because I was like, I know this is not over. This is not a one-off thing that happened. Yeah. This is something that happens a lot. Yeah. And I mean, I think probably since then it's maybe, I don't know if it's the numbers have escalated, but well, they have escalated, but also I think it's becoming more in the public eye. You know, I mean, like obviously it was George Floyd last year. That was like, it seemed like everyone kind of went, this is just, no, it's sort of, it was became just too much to bear really. And I think, yeah, I mean, it's a weird one. I think I still remember how I felt then watching it. And I think that very much sort of translated into how I felt about George Floyd and that whole Black Lives Matter amazing movement, but the kind of the fight and the kind of everyone was just like, fuck this shit. This is not okay anymore. We can't just sit here and just let this happen because it's like, and it was so blatant. And I mean, I didn't watch the video, but I was like, I don't think I need to watch the video. I don't need that. I don't need to be like educated in how fucking awful this is and how, again, easily preventable it was. Yeah. And well, I mean, this is always going to be a deep question, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, most people say ET, but yes.
I don't know. I mean, I think I do respond to films that are quite, I mean, close to home isn't even necessarily the right thing to say, but that are close to real life and that are about things that happen to my people. I feel like that is something that I do really, really respond to because, I mean, you know, it's just real. And if it's done well, like, you know, Fruitvale Station is a great film. It's really well told. And I think if it's done, it just feels like, that feels like that is a real story that happened.
Yeah. And it's interesting it stayed with you.
Yeah.
that long that with everything that happens in real life, that film stayed with you as well. Mm. It's very, very interesting. Mm. What is the film you did? I mean, listen.
When you just started, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where we're going to go from here. Let's see. God. What's the film that scared you the most?
Okay.
For goodness sakes.
I can't really handle horror films at all. Mm-hmm. I can tell you this now. I'm going to put it out there. I get scared very easily, okay? Like really, really easily. So I've got a few sort of films to choose from here. I think the biggest jump I had is watching What Lies Beneath. Do you remember that?
Yeah, love it.
Watched that film in the cinema with my cousin, who also doesn't like horror films. Don't know. Why did we watch it? I think it was out at the time and we were like, cool, we're in LA, we're in Santa Monica. I was going to stay with my auntie who was working over there at the time. So we were we just thought we were the coolest thing ever, walking around in pink bandanas and shit and thinking that we were cool for being in a shopping mall. I mean, fair still.
Sounds pretty cool.
Sounds cool. But yeah, I think it was on and it was a...
Harrison Ford, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Harrison Ford, Michelle Pfeiffer. Yes.
Robert Zemeckis, you're going. Of course you're going.
Some spooky kind of smooky. I don't know what smooky is, but
there's some smooky in it.
There's some spooky smooching. There is some smooching and some spooky smooching.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what smooky is. We've invented a new word.
It's very heavy on the smook.
Smooky. Hello. But I think it's that bit, isn't it? I think it's when she comes out of the bath or something. It's around the smooky.
Yeah, there's smooky in the bath and then...
But I screamed and jumped out of my seat, both of us, and it was like a cartoon. We flung our arms around each other. We're literally screaming. And everyone laughed in the cinema. It wasn't that busy because it was probably an early afternoon showing because we were 13, so we probably had to go home quite early. And, my mum and my auntie were waiting to having a coffee down the road or something, waiting to take us home. So it wasn't that many people in the cinema, which was also quite scary. We found that quite scary too. Yeah. But it was just, it was really just creepy. It just really creeped me out. And it's
it's a spooky movie.
It's spooky. But I mean, this is not a standalone one. And I feel as I'm out here embarrassing myself, I'm going to just go a bit further and tell you that I was terrified of Hocus Pocus until I was about 12.
Listen, Hocus Pocus, the Disney film about witches with Bette Midler.
The Disney film about witches. And the thing is, it's a brilliant film. And I would say if I watch it again, I've seen clips, haven't seen the whole thing, probably going to still be a bit scared. But it's sick. But when Sarah Jessica Parker is flying down the street on a Hoover singing, "Come Little Children, I'll Take You Away." No, I'm sorry. That's scary. That is scary for a child. I mean, maybe not most children, but it freaked me out.
It's a film on paper that is about witches and it's totally legit. It came out Halloween.
Halloween, exactly.
It was meant to be scary.
It's one of those ones you'd watch it at a sleepover and probably most of the other people would be asleep by the time it got to the scary bit and it would just be me on my own, fucking hiding behind a fucking pillow, being like, well, what if she comes to take me away? Who is here to save me? Yeah. No one.
What if Carrie Bradshaw comes on a fucking Hoover to take me away? It's terrifying.
Oh, my God. A Bette Midler's teeth as well. Yeah. Terrifying.
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 Absolutely. One of the scariest films of all time. You're correct.
But also, they are making a Hocus Pocus 2, and I'm going to watch it because it is actually brilliant. It's brilliant.
You're brave enough for Hocus Pocus 2?
I mean, I don't think I am. I think I'm probably going to be scared again, but do you know what? I'm ready for that.
Yes.
Come
Please
on.
Report back after you see it.
I will.
Shivering. It was so scary. Bette Midler's teeth are
literally. Oh, gosh. I don't know how they're going to top it, but.
Tricky. Hard. Maybe Dyson.
Oh, hello. Yeah, that could probably really fly, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. What's the film that people don't generally like? It's not critically acclaimed, but you love it unconditionally.
Friday.
Love Friday.
Friday. It's a great film.
Friday's a fucking great film.
Hilarious. Yes. So funny. But it's not critically acclaimed as
It didn't win the Oscars it should have.
Thank you. Thank you. Comedy films rarely do, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, man, Friday is just great. Friday is just hilarious. You know, I feel like the actor that plays the dad in Friday just has some of the most comedy lines ever. You know, and he's like, whenever I come in the kitchen, you in the kitchen, eating up all the food. It's like, I love it. It still makes me laugh now.
It's lovely.
It's great.
It's
great.
Wonderful.
I quote it when I come out of the bathroom.
When you go in the kitchen.
All the rooms in the house.
Get a Friday quote.
Oh, yeah. Love it. It's
fucking great.
It's a great film.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right. They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans? Yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12? Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
What's the film that you used to love? You loved it a lot when you were younger, but you've watched it recently and you do not like it anymore for whatever reason that might be.
Okay, so this is a bit rogue as well, but I watched it the other day, LA Confidential.
Go on. Interesting answer. I haven't watched it in a very long time. I know it was good.
No, well, nor had I. And it used to be like, I was talking to my girlfriend and I was like, look, she was like, we were like, oh, what film should we watch? And this came up and I was like, it's great. Like, we should. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I've never seen it. Like, you know, not because it blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, it's great. It's great. So we watched it like literally 2 days ago. And I was like, I used to love it. I used to think it was like really interesting kind of insight into life in LA. And it was all kind of the glamour, but the seediness in the 40s. And, you know, that was all quite fascinating for me. And the kind of the whole like tense detective, the crimes, the, you know, the two detectives coming together from opposite sides of this idea of detectivedom, which is also a word. But I watched it again and I was like, I'm sorry, but none of the female characters in this film have any agency at all. They're all kind of these sort of secondary kind of submissive, like kind of wet blankets, really. They're all like secretaries or prostitutes, basically, or dead, or like really ugly and stupid. Or the only female character with any agency is the real Lana Turner, who then throws a drink at Guy Pearce's character because he doesn't think that she is who she is. So what's that saying, that you only have any agency as a woman if you're a famous white movie star? No, not at all that. Also, I'd kind of forgotten the level of racism in it. Like, I understand that they're sort of what they're saying, you know, because they, the police, you know, the corrupt head of police, hope I'm not spoiling it for anyone, but it's quite an old film. The chief of police or whatever, like, basically pins this murder on these three black suspects who then are, like, manipulated horribly. And then it turns out that they're rapists anyway. So they have also done something bad. They are actually terrible people.
Oh, shit.
And then they're shot kind of in an accidental shootout, but also that was sort of always the plan anyway. And then there's the only other people of colour are a group of Mexican people who get beaten up at the beginning of the film. But then the only sort of consequence of that is that it gets photographed and then put on the front page of the newspaper being like, oh my God, the LAPD are really bad. Not anything to do with these people. And I was just like, I know that it's sort of showing this as a period piece. You know, it's kind of going, look, this is the kind of thing that happened in the 40s. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about before about Fruitvale Station and stuff, it's like, this shit still happens. And it was actually just enraging to watch it happen so blatantly in front of my eyes. And also was like, you couldn't make this film now, thankfully. You know, I do think the sort of film industry is changing for the better. We've still got a long way to go, but I think it is changing. And so I kind of was like, I feel like it's sort of a period piece of the 90s making a period piece. Like, it's sort of...
That's interesting.
You know what I mean? I was kind of sitting there going, right, this is maybe going, hey, this is 1997's idea of this.
Yeah.
If we looked at it from, you know, 2021, I forgot what year we were in. But if we looked at it from now, we would be like, hold on, we need to make maybe a different film. But the way we're framing this narrative needs to be very, very different and far less flippant to all of these minorities.
Another brilliant answer. I'm going to give you 40 for that answer.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah.
Quite well.
You're doing phenomenally well.
Thank you very much.
That's really interesting, that about the flippancy. I think that's a really good word for it and a real good, that's a good thing for anyone making something to keep in mind, that word. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Because you're right about period stuff. It's all well and good saying, yes, but it was like that then. It's still how you're framing it, what you're doing to show it.
You're still kind of glorifying that level of...
Yeah. You're entirely...
I mean, you're still showing it. You can't just... Can't put a lens on it.
You're still the storyteller. You're still... Exactly, I always think that's interesting when you watch stuff. It's like you can tell everything about the person who is telling the story.
Yes. By,
you know, what the story is. And
yeah, totally.
There's not much... There's a few things I've watched in my life where I'm like... Person that made this is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
I can tell, like, their soul is bad.
Yeah, this is not.
And even if the film was about a nice thing, I'm like, you're bad. Do you know what I mean? It's interesting.
Yeah, I totally know what you're talking about.
What's the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but the experience you had around seeing the film always makes it special to you.
Okay, so I will say Toy Story.
Okay. The first
one, because I went to see it. I think it must have been the first one. I'm pretty sure it was the first one. Went to see it with my best friend at the time and her parents and her little sister. And we were like 12. I think I'm probably aging myself there, but I mean, everyone has the internet, so.
we all know you're a dancer.
Everyone knows I'm a dancer. Do you know what I mean? So we were like, oh, we want to sit at the front. And our parents were like, no, we don't really want to sit at the front. You go sit at the front. So we were quite excited because it felt like we were in the cinema by ourselves. Maybe we weren't 12, maybe we were 10. Because that feels like quite a basic thing to have happened at the age of 12. But anyway, aside from that, so we were there sitting at the front. And I was on the left-hand side, not very good at my right and left. I could have just got away with that because you can't even see me.
Yeah. I did check on the visuals. She did actually hold up her left hand.
I did it, yeah, no, I did. Yeah. This one. I was on the left.
10 points for that.
So nearest to this other group of like 10-year-old boys. And halfway through the film, the one who was sitting next to me was like, are you enjoying the film? And I was like, I'm usually like, don't talk to me in the cinema. What is happening? Mm. Even then, I was like, this is sacred. I think my mum very much
done. I love this about you.
And I was like, what is this? What's happening here? And he was like, are you scared? Do you want to hold my hand? And I was like, oh my God, I'm to hold my hand.
Hang on, how old is this boy?
He's like 10 as well. Like, okay. we were both young. Like, it wasn't a weird, creepy man doing this.
And you don't know him?
I didn't know him.
Right. No.
But we were sitting next to each other in the cinema. Okay. Because he was the one end of his group and I was one end, the other end of my group.
Love it. Are you scared? Do you want me to hold your hand?
Yeah. And I was like, well, A, it's Toy Story, so not really. Yeah.
So you're
terrified. But also, I mean, maybe he
it's
knew
not hocus pocus.
About me. Not hocus pocus, mate. Do you know what I mean? If it were, come back to me at hocus pocus and then, yeah, probably. But I was like, it was quite, I think that was sort of the first, like, sort of approach that I'd ever had from a stranger. So I was like, yeah, okay. So then just like sat and held this boy's hand in the cinema for like a long time, like a lot, the rest of the film. And we both were sitting there with like little sweaty, tiny little sweaty hands. But it was just quite sweet. And then afterwards, like after the film, he got up and he said, okay, thanks. I hope you're not scared anymore. Bye.
Oh,
and I was like, that's really cute. Actually, that was a cute, it was a cute little scenario, you know. And I was when the lights came on, I was a bit like, oh, I don't really know what to do. But then just sort of, he just kind of went away, which is really nice. It's kind of the best way that it could have been. What a sweet guy.
I'm not scared anymore.
It's like, that's nice. I mean, I wasn't scared in the first place, but hey.
Yeah. Hope you're not scared anymore. I'm going to follow you home. Okay.
I'm not scared anymore because you're about to be. But yeah, it was, that was very sweet. So, I mean, I don't know if it like means the most to me.
That's really, really, really lovely.
It's a nice experience.
It's a 60 pointer.
God.
This is a very high scoring episode.
Yeah, thank you.
There's going to be previous guests listening to this, furious, absolutely kicking themselves at their
high scores. Absolutely fuming.
What's the film that you most relate to?
Okay, this is quite a hard one. Actually, I found this quite hard. I don't really think I've seen myself represented very much on film, especially as a young teenager. Definitely didn't really see my own experience reflected back at me. I would say a film that I saw really recently that I absolutely loved, that really, really, I went, that was my school, was Rocks.
Oh, fucking hell, that's a great film.
That's like such a good film. But like at the beginning when they're coming in and the teachers are like, sorry, no, what are those? You know, you need to, no, you can't take those earrings out. Why are you wearing a hoodie? What are those trainers? Take your sunglasses off. Like, I was like, that was my school. I went to like a state girls school in South London, Burntwood. And that was us every day, like rolling in with earrings on, being like, oh no, like, oh, you know, our head of year's coming, take your earrings. I've perfected like taking out hooped earrings with one hand each, so they were gone. I was like, I was literally like, I think that, had I seen that at the time, I would have been like, that's amazing. Oh my God, that is like really representative of my experience. But even like some of the bits, like, you know, when they're having a fight in the, like the food tech room or something, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's a food tech.
Like, yeah, and I was like, this is so great. I mean, I think testimony to the writer, Teresa Iacocco, and to all the young female actresses who are they're phenomenal, but again, very real. It was very like, that was probably the film that I would say, I mean, I don't relate to it now actively, but definitely I was like, 14-year-old me feels very seen, and thank you for that.
That's great. That's really great. It's a fucking good film.
It feels
completely real. It feels
so real. It was like it could be like a documentary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's so hard to do that as well.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Oh, Mackie, what's the sexiest film you've ever seen?
Oh my God. I don't know. It's quite a hard one. Because again, one of my answers was it's the top of the band list, so probably shouldn't say it.
Oh, you can say it. Listen, if it's by the way, for anyone who may be new to this podcast, when she says the band list, it's just a load of not films that come up a lot. So I've said, try to avoid this if you can. It isn't films that I think should be banned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even think that it would. Yes. No.
These are great films that everyone loves, but come up a lot. If your true answer is, then you can say it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Robin Hood. The Sexy Fox. What? That is like, I mean, I'm
laughing because it's so true. Of course.
It's inappropriate, but it's so good. It's so sexy. He's fit, man.
He's fit. She's fit. Maid Marian is fucking fit as fuck.
Stunning. Like, fit as fuck.
Stunning.
I was like, how do I get ears like that? How do I, like, put, like, tea towels and shit on my head and be like, yeah.
Stunning. She's stunning.
Wild. And also great. She's a strong woman.
Yeah.
We like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, when they're getting married, that bit in the forest, it's like, I was like, hello. Mm-hmm. Hello. Yes. I mean, I would definitely 100% go to bed with both of you and you're animated.
Yeah. Yes. Hold my hand. I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe don't hold my hand. Yeah. Don't touch me.
Don't touch my hand. I'm so sorry.
You might be too excited.
Well, there's a subcategory to this question, you know.
Okay.
Which God knows where this is going to take us. Troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. A film you found arousing, you weren't sure you should. But you've opened with Robin Hood, so I don't know where we go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was probably the answer to the other question. But also, I mean, probably also slightly inappropriate. Scarface.
Al Pacino Scarface.
Yeah.
Which specific part?
Michelle Pfeiffer in that is so fucking hot. Like, so hot. It's quite mad. And I mean, I feel like the whole film I shouldn't have found arousing because of the content. And I mean, I don't agree with it as a concept, you know, like, you know, gangs and drugs and violence. But Michelle Pfeiffer is fucking sexy as fucking that.
Michelle Pfeiffer is the most beautiful woman that's ever been put on screen.
I mean,
probably.
Yeah, I don't know what I did at that dress, man. It's like, yep.
It's the dress, it's the face. The woman can do no wrong. She's also an insanely brilliant actor.
She is brilliant.
What a talent.
What a talent. Michelle.
Stunning. She's stunning.
Stunning. Yes.
Great answers all around there. 4,000 points. Bloody hell.
Sick. That was a shock. God, I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Objectively,
can you get minus points? Because I feel like I might.
You can. We'll see where we go. This is often one where people lose points. Objectively, right. This isn't your favourite. It's objectively the greatest film of all time.
Objectively?
Yeah.
Objectively is hard, isn't it?
Because
It's hard. I think the whole purpose of films are to make you not feel objective.
Yeah. And yet, here we are.
And yet, here we are. I'm just stalling a little bit. Can you tell? I've got two very, very, very different answers.
Okay. You can give me both and I'll pick one.
Okay. I mean, firstly, I do think Singing in the Rain is magnificent. Is that where I've fallen down?
That is where, for the probably, maybe the first or second time in the history of this podcast, you have got the answer 100% correct.
Yes!
Fucking hell, Pearl Mackie.
It is just brilliant though, isn't it? It's just so fantastic.
It's objectively the greatest film of all time.
Oh, as in it objectively is, that is. People.
It is objectively the greatest film of all time. People keep coming on here and saying The Godfather, and they are incorrect. The answer is Singing in the Rain.
I think Singing in the Rain is a lot better than The Godfather. It's just quite magical, isn't it? I mean, I think just all of the like old Hollywood stuff, like the sort of Hollywood schooling that they go through with him and his mate when they learn, like the elocution and all of that. And what's her name? The one that
Debbie Reynolds
sings for.
Oh, Leland Lamont.
That is a brilliant bit of character acting.
Funny.
Fucking hilarious. She's so jokes. Also, that voice, where did that voice come from? It's like
the
that
film is funny.
It's so jokes. And like, the you know, some of the dance sequences are like so impressive.
Yeah, and you're a dancer, so you would know. Like, well, it's really impressive stuff.
Me and Sid Charisse, similar level, you know?
Oof.
So.
What a film. Perfect. Lord, stunning.
Stunning.
What was going to be your alternative? Because you don't need it.
I don't need it, so I'm not going
to
say
it. I'd love
it.
To hear it.
I was going to say Goodfellas, but that is just personal.
Oh, God damn it. I mean, if it's going to not be Singing in the Rain, it's going to be Goodfellas.
Right?
Fucking Goodfellas. Hell.
It's just brilliant.
Jesus
brilliant.
Christ. I mean, Pearl Mackie smashing this out of the park and into the next room.
Maybe. Fuck. We ain't finished yet, though.
Genuinely unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. What's the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again?
Clueless.
Lovely.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably recite it word for word. I won't because we'll be here for a long time. But I genuinely...
92 minutes.
Yeah, it'd be a long episode. But yeah, I just loved it. I think just that sort of teenage, like, ridiculousness of them. But it was so far away from my own experience. And also, they were, like, you know, a good sort of 4 or 5 years older than me. So this was another film I used to watch with my mum doing my hair. I just loved it. And, like, the soundtrack's brilliant. And, like, it's even hilarious going back to it and watching it now, because you look around and, like, you're like, there's so many, like, you know, the bit where she's like, how do guys dress today? Like, what is this shit? And I'm looking around, like, you know, the park opposite where I live. And I'm like, you've literally been cut and pasted from Clueless, from that scene in Clueless with your packaging and your greasy hair and your backwards cap and your, like, punk band t-shirt. Like, it's so exactly the same, which I find absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just so jokes, isn't it? It's so frivolous, but also does make you feel quite warm and fuzzy.
It's ever so good.
It's
ever so good.
It's a winner.
On the other end of the scale now, I don't like to be negative. I don't think you do either. So let's keep it brief. What's the worst film you ever saw?
Okay. It's a bit out there. And I think my girlfriend might hate me for saying this, but Lord of the Rings, the final one. It ends about 5 times.
It ends many more times than 5.
You know, why it was so long? When I watched it in the cinema, people were like, leave. You'd think that it's done. And you're like, oh my God. And now they're back in the Shire. Oh, come on. No, I'm sorry. The whole trilogy in itself is quite long, but at least that one, you know, the other two have some kind of adventure. This one is just a tiny bit of adventure and then they're just going home. Right.
Yeah, but they various sets of people need to hug and jump on beds.
Well, loads, apparently, every single person in the whole film.
Lots of them. I mean, I struggle with the basic narrative of Lord of the Rings in terms of get a ring in a thing. Why does it take so long?
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Exactly.
Just get over there, get the ring in the thing.
Get the ring in the thing. Do you know what I mean?
What's the stakes? Exactly. Ring needs to get in the thing. How long is it going to take?
I feel like Beyonce summed it up, innit?
12 fucking hours.
Yeah,
12
exactly.
fucking hours to get the ring in the thing.
That's long. And also, yeah, in the last one, they've done it.
And then another hour of hugging.
They've done it.
Yeah.
The film's done. Finish the film.
But some people, like my good friend Tim, he's like, I want to see more of them, like, cooking meals together.
Oh.
You know, it's just...
People do love it, but I...
People like watching elves cook together or something.
Apparently so.
And good luck to them.
Apparently so. They loved it, but it's just my personal opinion.
Yes. Absolutely. But it's interesting you picked the third one.
Yeah.
You love one and two, you bang into.
I didn't say that.
No. Okay. What's the film that made you laugh the most?
Okay. This is quite a weird one as well. A film called About Last Night.
Yes.
Kevin Hart and Regina Hall. They're so funny in it. I feel like the way that they just bounce off each other and they're just, you know, they're obviously playing these two characters who kind of despise each other but then end up fucking quite a lot and then end up being together. But it's just, they're just hilarious. They are hilarious. I mean, I think Regina Hall is phenomenal. Anyway. But yeah, she's so funny and underrated. And she's just, they're just great. Their chemistry is just brilliant. I mean, me and my best friend went through a phase of watching that so much. I'm just like, on a hungover Sunday would just be like, let's get a pizza and watch About Last Night, and it would always make us laugh. I can't vouch for the state of my brain after however many glasses of wine I had the night before, but it was funny. It's just,
I love it.
Crack me up.
I'm giving you 20 points. So
great. Okay.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen. Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals? Marketing plans? Yeah. Meeting agendas? Ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12? Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbor Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Oh, Mackie. I cannot tell you how brilliant you've been. I can't tell you because it would be rude to the other guests.
I actually can't tell you.
I can't tell. I mean, legally, I mean, for the health of other people listening, I can't tell you how brilliant you've been. But let's just say, totting up the scores here, you've got 44, 45, it was an 80 there, there was a 94. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at, what are we looking at here? 5,100 points.
What? Hello?
Which is the highest score we've ever had.
Seriously?
However, Pearl, when you were out for dinner with your mum and you said, lobster can't be the bad one. It's not all shellfish. And your mum very specifically said, I promise you, you're allergic to all shellfish. And you said, no, but I like lobster. I remember enjoying lobster and it's just a lobster. Just one lobster. I'm only going to have one lobster, mum. Don't be such a square. And your mum's like, honestly, Pearl, the history, just trust me on this one. You can't have lobster. And you went, fuck you, mum. You're not the boss of me. And you ordered lobster. And your mum shook her head. She said, Pearl. She said that under her breath a lot.
Pearl.
And you started eating that lobster. And your body simultaneously retracted and extended, and you very slowly turned into the wrinkled ballsack emoji that some call an octopus. And you sat there in front of your mum like this fucking giant emoji, both wrinkled and huge. And your mum, through her tears, because she does love you and she's sad you're dead, the one bit of joy she had, she went, I fucking told you so. And the other diners looked over and someone went, is that the one from that show? and I was walking past. And then someone sort of came over to your mum and said, I've seen your daughter in the show. And your mum went, right. And then they just walked off. She was like, I don't know if you liked it. I'm like, fuck's sake. And then I was passing with a coffin. You know what I'm like, wandering about. And I was like, holy shit. I got to your mum and I go, I'm a big fan of Pearl Mackie, and it's a shame to see her as a giant wrinkled ballsack octopus emoji now. But I've got my coffin with me, so let me take care of this for you. And she goes, thank you. Honestly, the thing is, Brett, I told her and she wouldn't listen. She's always been like that. She's very rude. You know, I used to plait her hair, now she plaits her own hair, now the girl is fucking dead. And I went, yeah, well, that's kids for you, isn't it? And I takes the knife fork thing that you use for the lobster, and I puncture you to try and get some of the size down. Get some knives, I'm going to chop you up with, because someone was having a serpentine over there, so I got the steak knife, I'm chopping into you. So a lot of it, I mean, it's essentially like whale blubber at this point, because the thing you've turned into is just like half seafood. Anyway, I folded you up, put you in this coffin, The thing is, there's so much more of you than there should be. It's absolutely jammed in there. There was really only enough room in this coffin for me to slide one DVD into the side with you for you to take to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. One night, it's your movie night. What film are you taking to show everyone?
It's my movie night.
Oh, Mackie.
Oh, go on. It's going to have to be Clueless. Yeah.
Clueless.
They're going to love it. They're going to love it. That means I get to, like, act out the whole film.
You're going to stand in front of them, act it out in front of the screen. They're going to love it. They're going to be there. She is Mrs. 5100. Pearl Mackie, what an absolute
joy. Thank you so much for having me.
I have loved this. Would you like to tell anyone to look out for anything, watch something, listen to something? The long haul is coming at some point.
The long call, even.
The long call, even better, much better.
Don't watch the long haul, but do watch the long call. I think it should be out and about in the autumn.
Very nice. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you for your time, for doing this, and for phenomenal answers.
Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful death and good day to you.
Thank you, sir.
So that was another Rewind Classic. We'll be back on August 9th with 10 brand new episodes. Thanks for listening. Hope you're all well. Hope you're having a lovely summer. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. So that is it for now. In the meantime, have a lovely week and please be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.